for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, September the 6th, 1998. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Heavenly Father, we submit ourselves unto you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we say, have your way, and you move, and you speak this day through this vessel, Lord, that your word will go forth. But if the flesh gets in, Lord, nullify its power and its strength and remove it from the memory of any one. If my flesh overrides your word, Lord, and I bring forth things that should not be spoken this day. We trust you, Lord, for you are God, and we just praise and we magnify it. We ask, Father, that you do a mighty work during this session and through the rest of this camp meeting, Lord. You have already worked magnificently in the lives of people, and we pray for continuing presence of the Most High God and a deliverance for the people and the power of the Holy Spirit to move. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to speak on a familiar one that's been spoken on before, not this session, but many times before here. And our brother Glenn preaches this occasionally, but I pray that I'll say something different from what Glenn has to say in the Scriptures. We're going to talk on the overcomer.
Hallelujah.
And we're going, of course, to Revelation, where it talks about the overcomer, because he speaks to the churches about the overcomer in the book of Revelation. If you will go with me to the second chapter of Revelation, we will look at those Scriptures here today. In chapter 2 of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is giving some direction here. And he's talking to some messengers to the churches which are up in Asia. And he's giving direction. But you know this direction is good for us today. I mean, this is pertinent today. This is God at work right now in the lives of his people. And it was written aforetime that we might in these last days take this word and apply it to ourselves and see God move if we will apply this word to ourselves. Now, in the very beginning, this is not in order of what I've written here in my notes down of the Scripture. I don't write sermons. I write a Scripture and a thought behind them in case you want to know what I'm doing. It's probably evident sometime by the way I talk, but is how I do it. And I'm going down the line, and I'm going to give you what it says about an overcomer. An overcomer is a victorious person.
Yes.
A victorious person. This is the overcomer. It means to conquer. Now, this is what God is talking about when he speaks of overcomers. He's talking about conquerors and those who are victorious.
Yes.
Now, we're victorious over several different things, over other many things here. In fact, he's speaking to seven churches, and he's telling us to be victorious over certain things. And this is what I want to bring out to you today, is what God is calling for us to be victorious over. So if you will look at the second chapter, in verse 4, and I'm not going to read all these Scriptures because I want to cover all these seven churches today. And if you'll go to verse 4, he's talking to the church at Ephesus, and he says, nevertheless, in verse 4, I have something somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love.
Yes.
Have we anybody here that's left the first love? This is what God is saying about what happens to the church. Now, you can apply, some have applied these churches to eras of time, to dispensations of certain time. Well, you can do that if you want to. But they are still pertinent today. This is a live word. This is a fresh word. This is new. And it's for you and I right now. So he wants us to know, be sure that we have not left. What's your first love? What was your first love? He's talking about the love that you had when you... Do you remember the joy That you, when you came into the to salvation and the Jesus that lived within you, and how He, all the joy that swelled just rose up in you. I don't know about you, it did with me. Did it not happen to you?
Yes.
Let's hear about it. Did it happen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's what we want. And another one came in when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll just have to add that because it was a fresh and a new one here, and it was greater, I think, in the personal, to my personal flesh, than the first one when Jesus came in. But it was not a greater thing that happened. But it had a difference in the flesh.
Yes.
I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the power of the Holy Spirit when He came in, and He gave me the joy of walking with the Holy Spirit. So, He's telling us that there's some of us that are leaving their first love, and that we must repent and come back in into this right relationship. When your first love means your superior, your best, or your chief love. That's what that word means, and it doesn't mean the first time that you loved. Probably the first time you loved was not truly love at all. We call it sometimes puppy love when you're young and children. Most of the time, it's lust,
yeah.
And it's not true love. But He's talking about a superior or a chief love, and we know that this is Jesus Christ, so we don't have any problem with that, and Jesus knew this was going to happen. If when He walked this earth, this is Jesus revealing to John after, for some time after He had gone to the cross, He appeared back to John on the Isle of Patmos. But if we look at Matthew 24, while He walked here, He had a word to say in 24, in verse 12. And He says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Iniquity.
Yes.
What's iniquity? Lawlessness. Yes. Lawlessness. It's a sin. It is sin. And it is a lawlessness type of sin. And it's because we have become lawless, our love kind of grows cold. And He says, He knew this. Jesus, when He walked there, knew this. He spoke that before He went to the cross. So, this is not new. This is not something that's just fresh come on the scene. It's not something that boiled up out of the pit in the ground and just hit us all together. This was God knew in advance. This was coming upon us. And so he has a release for this. And He says in verse 5 of back in Revelation, He says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen." That means you're fallen. If you've left that first love, you have fallen.
Yeah.
So, then He says, repent. There's two words for repent in the Bible, Hebrew and Greek. One means I'm walking in this direction, and I change, and I walk in this direction. Basically, that's what it means. You get a dictionary, it's going to say some beautiful words about it, but that is the context of what it's talking about. You change directions. You no longer are going in the way that you were going. You have turned around. It means to turn around and change directions. The other word is, can't think of, now Lord, that left me right there. I had it just a minute ago. We say to be sorry, but it's more than being sorry. Oh, change your mind. Change your mind. That's the other one. Thank you, Lord. We have to have a change of mind. We sing a song that came from another ministry. Change my heart, O God.
Yes.
Make it ever new.
Yes.
Change my heart, O God. May I be like You. And this is the... What it means here is that we change and we turn back to God and we do become. Do you know that you're supposed to eventually come to the point that you look just like Him? We are to be so much like Jesus that when they look at you, they see Jesus. And that comes not with facial change, but with actions from the heart. And that's how it's going to come about, by our heart being changed and walking in the power of the Most High God, and we shall be changed. There'll be no doubt about it that God will truly change us. And when we walk down the road, people will say, "Is that Jesus?" Well, sure. It is the Jesus in me, you see. It is the Jesus in me. I am not Jesus, but He is in me, in the person of the Holy Spirit. So this is what His word was to Ephesus, that they repent and change themselves. Let me see. Did I finish verse 5? He says, "Remember whence, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, or else, and do the first works." What's the first works? To come back where you were when you received the Lord Jesus Christ, and serve Him, and be obedient to the Word of God, and walk in. You know, we miss that. Walk in. When we say believe, I have to do this occasionally to remind myself. When we say believe, if you'll pick up your amplified Bible, it will say to walk, to adhere to rely on, and to walk in behind the word believe. Stick to it, rely on it, trust in it, but walk in it. My steps are in the Word of the Lord. They are controlled by God's Word. I am walking in the precepts of what my God commanded. And we said, we can't really do that all the time. Yeah, but we've got to make an effort to do that, and we've quit making the effort. We have accepted the preaching, and we say, hey, I'm okay. I go to church, and I sit in the pew, and I'm not a bad feller. And we've accepted that as God's righteousness on us, but that's not God's righteousness. God wants us to be obedient to what I've got here in my hand. He wrote it out, and God will not change just because you do. And He says that you're fallen if you've left your first love, and I don't want you fallen. When you stand before Him, I don't want you in that fallen condition. I want you in right standing in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ to be covering you, that when He looks at you, He does see Jesus, and He says, here is one of our own. Come on in, child. And that's what we're after, and that's why we preach and do deliverances, to get ourselves cleaned up and set free so that we can come and walk in this Word and in the power of the Lord.
Amen.
22nd chapter. I got a note here. Let me see what I'm talking about here in 22. Verse 2 says, in the midst of the street and on either side of the river, there's a river that was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And verse 14 says, and blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. And that's why we do deliverance, to clean us up for that tree of life, that we may partake of that tree of life. You know, my wife spoke about it. Yeah, there were two trees there in that garden. She just mentioned it kind of passing through. And we took of the wrong one. We took of the wrong one. And we're still taking of the wrong one. We want knowledge, and we're seeking knowledge, and we seek it all kinds of places where we should not be seeking it. So God is wanting us to clean up and move on. The second church, Smyrna, I want to drop down and pick up at verse 10. He says, well, I better do 9. Because he starts out with, fear none of these things, and we want to know what things. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He's written an awful lot here in this second verse, and he's telling us that we are going to have that tribulation. He said, don't fear the things that you're going to suffer. You are going to suffer, didn't he say?
Amen.
You're going to have to suffer over some things. And I fear this time, present time, we are about to do some of that. Speed made comment that more Christians had died, and I don't remember the date, but in the last few years, than all the Christians in the previous times up until sometime in the 1900s, and I don't remember the date. But that covers a lot of territory. And he says, don't fear death. Satan is going to put us in some type of prison. Oh, hey, we're in prison right now. In many cases, there are many people. We set some people free from some prisons over here in this corner today. They were in prisons. We build this prison here, right here, around our mind, and it binds us and it holds us that we cannot do the things that we would like to do because of the power of Satan controlling right here, this soulish part of our body that controls us, and we are just the same as if we were behind bars. And what all does he say? You'll be in prison that you may be tried. Well, Satan is really trying us to see if we're going to give in to him. He says, I'll put you in prison. And that's what these demonic forces are doing. They're trying us to see if we're going to give in to him and follow after him and renounce the Lord. That's exactly what this is all about. And God is saying, don't fear this. Don't fear this, for my people are going to stand because I am the Lord of this earth, and I will strengthen you. Those that will turn to me, I will strengthen you, and I will protect you. I will watch over you. I will give you into you. If you will follow after me, I will give you the ability to withstand all of Satan's power, all that he puts upon you, and you might go to prison, but don't fear that. You're not free from, Christianity is not a bed of roses. Do you ever realize that? We thought, hey, if I just accept Jesus, I got it made now. I can just sit back and wait till I go to heaven. And that whole idea is going to heaven. And he says, be faithful unto death. Now, God is looking for faithful people. This is the greatest thing that we have to do right now is to be trustworthy and faithful unto our God, that we stand. He says, and having done all, what?
Stand.
And when we have fought the battle, we have done everything that we know to do, we have trusted in the Lord, then we stand and say, God, do the work now. And as we stand for the Lord, He will not disappoint you. He will do the work, and He will put to flight those things that harass us, but he's saying be faithful in the trials that you have and don't give in to the demons and to the devil that come against you, but be faithful unto me and I will set you free and I will watch over you. Now that's the promise of God, and I trust God and I believe that this is what he is doing. He said in John 16:33, he said, you're going to have tribulation. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but he added to it, be of good cheer. Don't worry about it. Have joy in it. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And in this world, and we know that in James he talks about it, that if we follow after the things of the world and give in to the things of the world, that we are truly under condemnation. If this is our desire and thrust in life, that if we do that, we are following after the things of the devil. You don't become a friend of the world is what he's telling you. He said, if you do, you'll become an enemy of God if we follow after the things. Now, we know we live in the world. I have to go to work every day because I have to put food on the table. And our economy says that you have to give a certain thing to get something out of the store. And that's called money, and we have to work for it. But if we make that our God and our thrust, then we have substituted and put a false God in our life ahead of our true God. And God will surely chastise us for that. And it's up to God to determine when you lose your salvation. That's not up to me. So I'll leave that between you and your God. But do not allow these things to become the things of the world to become gods in your own life. That is anything that you place above the Lord Jesus Christ becomes that God. So praise God. We'll not be caught in that. Verse 11 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. Where I raised up in the church, it says if you're born once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you'll die once. Did you get it? And it's true. I mean, that's really true. If we only have a physical birth, we've got to die a natural death and a spiritual death. But if we have two births, if we receive birth as a natural birth, as a child, a baby, and we receive spiritual birth, then we'll only die one time. And that's the old physical death, and we'll go on into heaven and live forever with the presence of the Lord, which is true life. And what we're seeking is the true life, is it not? That's eternal. Never ending. And what we're working for this day is to have that. That's what this is all about. I believe that every one of you here will agree with me. Yes, I want to go to heaven. I don't think that any one of you here wants to go to the other place.
No.
I think we can rule that out without question. So our purpose is to be able to go to be with the Father. And I'll hear somebody say back up there, yeah, but I don't want to go on this load. Wait a while. But we are planning this in our life. So don't fear death. And I want to get off here of this scripture, and I'll tell you to tell you, and I'm sure you know it, but there might be some here that don't know it. Death holds no fear for God's people. There's not any fear in it at all. I heard it described this way. It's the transition of walking through the door out of this life that we have in the flesh into the spiritual life, and it's just as easy as that, as walking through the door. And if we are God's child, if we are child of the King, it is just like that that we pass from here over into eternal life. And I believe it. I believe that with all my heart that that's the way it's going to be. It's just like passing through a door. Now, I know there's changes. I know all of this about my body is going into the grave and all of that. But my spirit man lives forever.
Yeah.
He's not going to be obliterated. He's not going to lie asleep in a grave. He's going to be with the Lord. So, I'm going right on through in it. And death, as I said, this is what we're working for. We're working to be in heaven with the Lord. So don't fear death. Do not have any fear of that. Don't fear the devil either. Only you can get yourself lost. The devil can't lose you from God's power. Only you can give in to him and lose yourself from God's power. So don't fear the devil either. And this is our purpose today, to fight the devil. So bear with me here, and let's go to verse 14. Now we're at the church of Pergamos, and he says, I have a few things against you because thou hast there those that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication. You know the story, or do you not know the story? Everybody know the story of Balak and Balaam? And you know how Balak got Balaam, and even the donkey had more sense than he did. He wouldn't carry him over there. Why? Because there was an angel with a big sword standing in the way. And God told him, don't go. And he made up his mind he would go, because he wanted the pay that he was going to receive for going over and putting a curse on the children of Israel. And that was his job. That's what he was called for. But God said, don't go with him. But he did go. So then God relented. But when he got on the donkey, you know that donkey wouldn't even pass that angel. That angel stood there with that sword, and that donkey backed him up against the fence and a wall and mashed his foot. And he beat the donkey, and the donkey talked to him, didn't he? God used the donkey. My wife talked about that yesterday. She says he used the donkey and he used the rooster. But he used the donkey in this case. And in the end, he could not curse because God would not let him, and it gave him strict orders not to curse the children of Israel. And God gives Satan strict orders about you and me. And Satan knows better than to go against those orders. Did you know that? If you don't know it, look at Job. How God told him what he could do and what he could not do. So when he couldn't win there, he later got with Balak and he told him what to do. He said, get them to intermarry and commit fornication with the women and the young men and young women and between the tribe here and the children of Israel, and that will break it down. And you know that it happened, and the curse was broken. Now, that's what it was all about. And that's why he committed these acts here that it talks about over in the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. That's in verse 14 we're talking about it. And you could go to it if you want to. It's in Numbers 25, 1 through 8 mainly is where it is, but I'm not going by. I told you the story, so we'll not go read it. And story. It's not a story. It's the Word of God. I'm sorry I used that word, but that was what happened, the narrative of what God had them write in that situation. Verse 15 says, So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. That word Nicolaitans, if you look that up, it means to rule the people. And it means to rule with a hard cast iron hand. It means to have control and to not give them any room to conquer. Really, it means to conquer the people. And God does not want us to exercise that kind of authority over one another. That was not God's plan for us. So he says, there are those of you that have this this doctrine within them, and that's another thing that he hates. So he said, if you will overcome, down in 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give to him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man can say, no man knoweth save than he that receiveth it. There's some things about that thing. The hidden manna is the revealed word of God. I'll give you the revealed word, he says, if you overcome. I didn't go back through those first ones. You know, there are those things we have to overcome. We have to get victory over those things. And where do you get victory? What is the overcoming talking about? You have to overcome within yourself the enemy that is attacking you. This is what he means when he says, he that overcometh. You overcome the demonic powers, the devil, or whoever's working against you, whatever is working against you within yourself. You and the presence of God strengthening you and giving you wisdom and knowledge, fight this thing and you become an overcomer by defeating and getting the victory over these forces that come against you, and you will, and you get the promise of the overcomer at the end of each one of these messages to the church. And it is a battle within yourself. I taught the men over here day before yesterday, I believe it was, on the battles that we fight and the warfare that's going on in the men, in the lives of people. And the warfare that we fight is the warfare with the enemy. And we are, and you are, in warfare, in case you don't know it, you are in war right now. And you better be fighting, otherwise you will succumb to the power of the enemy if you don't fight him. Because he is not going to give up on you. If you make a step toward the Lord, he's going to come after you. He is going to do his utmost to seduce you and to take you away from the Lord and to get you in his camp. And he's mad at you. He would kill you if he could. That's how mad he is at you. But God has not allowed him to do that except in certain cases that he has gotten permission probably to do this. But I don't know. That's between him and God. I feel like that there are some places that has happened, but I don't need to get into that when in talking about this overcoming today. But he does have to have God's permission to do anything, and I want you to realize that. And don't be afraid of the enemy. Don't be afraid of that death. We have to overcome those things in our life. Right down in here, the fears that attack us, the greed that we have, the sexual immorality that hits people, the desire for things that are forbidden that God calls abominations. We have to overcome all of these things within our life. The addictions, all types of addictions. And with the help of God, you and I can be an overcomer. And this is what this is all about this day. The stone that he was talking about, he said, I'll give you a new a white stone. That would be a token of admission to a supper. And praise God, there's going to be a wonderful supper coming up here.
Hallelujah.
And you're invited because you're the bride. But you've got to have this white stone. You have to have a white garment. And we are the bride of Christ. But the stone that he says, here I will give you to eat of the hidden manna, and I'll give him a white stone. And in the stone is going to be a new name. And I could go through and give you quite a few scriptures on the new name. I've got them down here. But take my word for it, God's going to give you a new name. And if you're interested in it, the new name is the name of a victor. This is what it's all, why you get the new name is because you have overcome and you've become the victor. and you shall get that new name. And if you want it, you'll find it in Isaiah 62:2 and Isaiah 65:15. You'll find reference to that new name in those two places. There are just two of them right away that I wrote down that you can find that. Now, writing to the church at Thyatira, in verse 19, he says, "I know thy works and thy charity, thy love, and the service and the faith and thy patience and thy works. And the last to be more than the first." The works, your works, he says, are real good. You have done more works. And your works are real good. Notwithstanding, though, I have a few things against you, because thou serverest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants and to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. This Jezebel spirit is predominant and prevailing in the world today. There is a spirit, and it's not a woman. It is a spirit. It is that spirit, and it's named for Jezebel for the characteristics that she had in life. But he said that the things that we suffered the woman to teach and to seduce my servants, and that's false teaching. That's what he's talking about, the false teaching that we receive, and we will receive it and sit under it and know. And many people today are in churches that do not teach the full Word of God. They just teach a portion, and they say, "Well, where I came from, the background that I came from," they said, "well, all of that's part about the Holy Spirit and receiving the Holy Spirit, all that passed away. You got it all when you got Jesus." And there's no second blessing there at all, because you got the Holy Spirit when you got Jesus. That's not the full Word. That's not what the Acts tells us. And there are other false teachings that are given, and I don't know all of them, and I don't want to know them. I don't want no false teachings. I want truth. I want the truth of the Word of God in me. I don't want to get any of this other in my spirit. When people come to me and they want to tell me, my wife will tell you about this. My wife answers the phone for us. I work during the day. So she is the one that's stuck on the phone at the house. So she gets the phone calls. And people come in and they want to unload their garbage on her. They want to tell you how bad it is. How bad my life is and what my husband's done to me and how bad my children have been and what they've done, and they're all drunks and they don't love me and blah, blah, blah. And she'll tell you right away, "I don't want to hear all of this problem. If you need prayer, we'll pray." And she'll pray with you. But she don't want your garbage dumped on her in her spirit. She says, "My spirit is not a garbage can for you to put your garbage in." And you know, I don't know whether you know it or not, but what you listen to, what you hear with this ear gate comes on in, and if you get enough of it, it's going down in your spirit. And you know that out of your spirit comes back out that thing that went in. It's just like a computer. You put garbage in, you get garbage back out. And you put garbage in your spirit, and you're going to get garbage back out of your spirit. And she don't want garbage coming out of her spirit, neither do I. Amen. I'm using her because she answers the phone, and people come in, call, and try to put all their problems. All you need is to tell you, "I need prayer. I need prayer for," and what area. That's all you need to say. And she'll be glad to pray with you. But all of this other stuff, we don't need this in our life, because it has a definite effect on me and on the one that hears it. And if you keep putting that in there and putting that in and putting that, pretty soon back out of your mouth comes the same thing.
Yes.
The same thing will come back out of your mouth. He talks about this spirit here in 20... to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. It speaks really of spiritual adultery. Is what he's really speaking of, that she teaches this spirit of Jezebel teaches of spiritual adultery, which means that it runs you into a false god and it puts you under the power of a false god. So we do not commit adultery. We do not have to do with false gods. And if you want a scripture to go with that one, you could look at Exodus 34:14 through 16. And we're not going over and run all these references, but I want to have time to finish this and do some do some deliverance after we get through with running the scriptures. I went through 22. He says, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed with them that commit adultery, with them that and with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." And here is the great need that we repent, that we turn away, that we change our mind about what we're doing. We need a mindset toward the Lord rather than in the direction of pleasure and things for self. We are turned inward. You and I, we have learned, all of our life has been directed to be a success, to edify yourself, to satisfy the needs for you and your family, but nobody ever really taught us and spoke to us, except maybe a few churches, to love your brother and supply his need and to think first of him before you do yourself. And that's scripture, you know, that we're to edify our brother and sister. So we have been educated and trained into lifting up self, and that is not edifying to God. For as long as self is edified, we don't have a need of God. And this is what's happened in the world today, in our land, that we feel like, hey, I'm sufficient within myself. And if you don't think that's right, look in your churches today how many people are missing. You say, "Well, we've got a big church." Well, look outside and see what's going up and down the street while you are holding service. What is out there on the road and down at the beach or down at the river or at the football game in that season or at the golf game in that time of year or whatever is going on, they are coming mass. You have a basketball game in my town, if it's on Sunday morning, you'd empty half the churches in town, because that is a basketball town. Some towns are football towns, and if you don't believe it, look at TV. They're about to start their season. They already have started. This is September. And you look at it on TV, and you look at the thousands of people that fill those stands. And they scream and they holler, and they just make fools of themselves. They paint their faces. And they don't mind making fools of themselves for the devil. If I could get as many people turned on for the Lord, we'd win the world before you could turn around. That would act as strong for the Lord as these sports fans act for their sport. And the world could be won. God is not through with us, so God has not lost any battles. God knows right now what's going on. He knew in advance what was going to take place. And my God is not defeated in any sense. And what's happening now is just another good opportunity for my God to work if we can get people believing and saying, "My God is going to take care of this." But we're wringing our hands and saying, "Woe unto me, woe unto me." It's, oh, why 2000 is coming and I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm going to be, I don't know if I can survive. I don't know if I can get food. I don't know if I can get electricity. I don't know if I can get water. Because when these computers go down, man has put his whole faith in a computer. This whole world runs on a computer. Yes, it does. In case you don't know it, it does. Every business in this country operates on computers. Every oil well runs on a computer. Every water plant runs on a computer. Every transportation company runs on a computer. Every electric company runs on a computer. Let me show you something. If a computer goes down in the truck lines, nothing can move. Did you realize that? If you let one thing go down, it's going to kill everything else. Did you realize that?
They're going down.
The telephone company runs on computer. What if you can't pick up the phone and order a truck to come over and pick up your goods to carry it to that plant so those people can go to work and come and do a product and come back and sell it to the world? How many people go out of a job just because of that one thing happening? I'm not doomed. I'm not. This is the devil's side that what he's doing. My God's going to protect his people. He said that in time of famine, you will not starve, even in time of famine. I'll take care of you. And if my God can take care of me in time of famine, he's not going to let me die because the computers went down. Now, I'm not telling you not to prepare. God's warned us. And anybody that's got any kind of sense at all is going to make some kind of preparation. And I'm not going in. I didn't mean to get in that, but I wanted to use that as an illustration to show you how the devil is at work this day and at this time, and how we have, as a people, have totally turned to a tool here of man and have trusted completely in man and left God out. And we never should have done it. Right? Right. I believe I can get some okays on that one. So
if they wouldn't have got all them dirty pictures on it, and
it can be used for the Lord. It can be. Yes, amen. It can be used for the Lord. So, but man has done his work in it, and it's perverted. It has been perverted. So. That's enough of that. We're talking about being overcomers, and we're not gonna fall into that, and we are going to be overcome. We are overcomers to start with. We are already an overcomer because we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, for our needs being met in the land today, for whatever we have need of. He is sufficient for the need, and He is doing the work already. So I praise God, for what He's doing right now. Where do I want to go? I'm losing my place here. 22? Well, I use 22. Behold, I will cast her in the bed, and them that commit adultery, as the adultery, and into great tribulation, except they repent. That's where I got to right there. And we do need that repentance. Let's look at 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Did you hear that? Not what you believe in, what you've done. He's going to look at what you've done now. He's looking at the heart first of all, and your heart has to be right. But if your heart's right, you are going to do something. What? You're going to obey this word. You're going to walk in this word. You are going to be an overcomer. You're going to fight the enemy, and you're overcoming everything that he throws at you. And we're not waiting till it gets so heavy upon us that we can't move. We're going the minute it hits you. This is deliverance. This is where we're going. You know that. And I want to say right here while I'm thinking about it, when you become under attack from the enemy in any type or any situation, how do you react? What happens, and what do you do? Say you feel sickness coming. Do get colds? No, we don't. Okay, all right. My wife don't get those. It tries to hit us, and here's why she doesn't get colds. I'm gonna tell you why she doesn't get them. The minute it shows itself up, and if she gets that tickle in her throat, she says, "I don't receive you." You go on down the road, and there's people down there that's looking for you. They've got already bought the cold medicine, and they're sitting there waiting on you to come in. But I don't receive you, and I'll not have you in my body. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, go. You mean you can do that with sickness? Well, certainly. Now, don't wait till you're dying with cancer to try it, because your faith won't work. Try it on a fever blister. Start with a fever blister. And you say, "I'll not receive you. I command you to get off my lip. I didn't ask for you. I don't know where you came from, but you're not going to land on me. Now go on, leave me now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And this is where we start. And little things like this, and we build our faith to know that my God is true to His Word, and He's working in our behalf, and when we confess the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, it works. And we drive the enemy out of our life as we go down the road. And he says, "And I search the reins and the hearts." He says he's searching our hearts. And he's going to give us according to our works. So if we align ourselves with the Lord, I'm sure you are. You're here and you're searching. You read this every day. Do you start your morning out with the Word? This is the way it should be. We should open this Word every morning. Before we get out of the house is the best time. I find if you wait till you come back in at night, you're tired. I tried this one time. And I'm tired when I come in. I've done a day's work. And my mind has slowed down. slowed down, and I do not receive as readily, and I've got to read over and over again the same scripture over to get it back in. So if I get up when I'm fresh in the morning, and I read it, and I can go through it, and I say, God, show me yourself what today and what I'm reading. What are you trying to say to me in these scriptures? Here, Holy Spirit, move now and give me your word. And I ask Him to supply it. And as I read it, He'll help me along, and He'll interpret for me. And we do this. And I told the men today, get yourself a prayer partner. And you women do the same thing. Pray early in the morning. Early in the morning. Get your prayer partner, someone, and know who you're dealing with. Now, don't just pick anybody, because you need somebody to get in agreement with, and you've got to know what they're wanting before you can agree with them. And I pointed this out very pointedly to the men, that you know what they're asking you to agree with. When they say, agree with me, you want to know what you are agreeing with. You don't want to agree with just anything that somebody else comes along with. They might be agreeing to the wrong thing. So know your prayer partner. Get you one, and two of you stand together and you pray together. Every morning, do this, and you'll see a difference in your life. I promise you. I told the prayer group this morning, I gave them a scripture, a prayer, in Ephesians in the first chapter. And I told them, put it on a card, and you pray this every morning. And if the rest of you, if you'll do it, if you'll look in Ephesians in the first chapter, there's a prayer in there. And if you'll pray that prayer every day, it'll make a big difference in your life. And it's real, let me tell you people, this word is real. So God has a plan for us to help us become overcomers. And all of this is a part of being an overcomer, that we trust in Him and we use His Word. Here is the key. We follow after His Word here, and this is the key to being an overcomer in the land today. 26 says, He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. You mean I'm going to rule over nations? There are nations in your mind. There are whole nations in there. And this is the nation I think he's talking about, is these nations that come against us right here. All of the power of Satan and all the demonic forces. He says, I'll give you rule over them. But if he wants to make certain ones of us that are true overcomers over countries and nations here of people, he can do that too. Yeah. And I don't rule that out, because my God can do anything that he says he can do. I don't limit him. And he wants to do it, and he wants to do it for us. What he's saying to you is remain faithful. Always remain faithful. This is I tell the men, I've told them a couple of times already this week. God is not impressed by your squalling and bawling. You can go before Him and cry and plead and beg to do some work in your life, and He's not impressed at all. But your faithfulness will move God. He looks at your faithfulness, and He will be moved by your faithfulness, and you'll see great work done, because He will answer as you are faithful to Him. So this is necessary within our lives. Let me look at Hebrews, the third chapter of Hebrews, right quick. It says in verse 6 that Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. What's the hope? Hope of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our salvation, of the one who has forgiven us and wiped away our sins, and he's set us free, firm unto the end. We are His house, it says. We are the house of Jesus. We are that New Jerusalem coming down. The body of Christ. This is all a part of it. We are a part of that family of our God and all of His plan for us and for all the world. And we are a part. Realize. Have you ever really considered sitting at the feet of an awesome God who controls universes? And your mind won't even think that big. You can't understand universe. That's a lot of stuff out there. You know, millions and millions and millions of miles, and nobody knows how many trillion there are out there. It is so vast that you can't make a model scale of it. If the earth was the size of the head of a pin, the next stars out yonder would be out of the room so completely that you wouldn't even have them in relation. You couldn't even find them. You couldn't put them together and see them because they'd be so far away in relation to normal miles. This is how big this universe is. And we are going to have fellowship with Him. This God that holds all of this in the palm of His hand. He is so big that He can hold that in the palm of His hand. I want you to see the awesomeness of our God and of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at Him as a man that walked this earth. That's true. But you see, He lay aside His deity. He didn't come in here as the God of this world that created all of it that is here. Because He did. But He didn't come in here like that. He came in here just like you and I did, as a man. He came born of a woman and walked away. And that's why we get that idea about Him that, hey, you know, He was just a man. Now, I know He's special man, but He's man, you see. No, He's God. But even though He didn't act like God here on earth, He's still God. He's always God and always will be God. And we are going to have fellowship with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are children of the Most High God. Isn't that wonderful? Ooh. 2:28. Am I down that far yet? I guess so. He says, I'll give you the morning star. Who's the bright morning star? Oh, hallelujah. We're getting Jesus again. He says, I'll give unto you the bright and the morning star. The morning star. If you'll know, that's not really what that word means. Now, we know that that was the name of Jesus. If you'll look that up, that means it's the one that shines at daybreak. Hey, a star shining at daybreak. Stars are reflection of the sun. And when it's light, you shouldn't get a reflection, should you? Do you see stars in the daytime? How many of you see stars in the daytime? Well, you said, if somebody hit me hard enough in the head, I might see them, but I'm not talking about those stars. This is a star that is daybreak. It is bright, so bright that as day breaks, you can still see that star, the morning star, as the sun rises. And it is representative of our Jesus. So, the Father promises us that we will have that morning star. Look in chapter 3. Verse 1, and he says, unto the angel of the church of Sardis, write these things, saith, He that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, and I know thy works, and that thou hast a name, and that thou livest, and you are dead. Are any here that are claiming that we are alive in Jesus Christ, but we're walking in the power of the devil? That's what he said. That's what he's talking about here. You're dead. Separated. Separated. What's death? Separation from God. So, he says, you are dead. And there are those that claim this. And today there are many that do. Churches are full of people that claim they're children of God, but yet they live their lives according to self, according to my desires and my wants, and according to the God of sports, a God of entertainment, a God that satisfies my needs, a God of flesh that ministers to self. And that will kill you. If you are a child of God and you get off in that will kill you. Be watchful and strengthen those things which remain that are ready to die. If you've not walked in that, he says, be careful and be sure that you have strength and add strength to the things that you still have. The things that are of the Lord that are still in you. And don't let the devil strip you of anything else that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. So, this is what he has against us and what we must overcome under the church of Sardis. This is the thing that we need to overcome here. And that is I think what, in the natural, what he said is hold on to the things that God has given you and let go of the things that are of the devil. In plain words, that's what he's talking about. Strengthen the inner man. Search this word and apply this word here and put it in your spirit, down here in your spirit being, that it cannot be stolen from you. You see, up here he can remove it. He can take the things that we commit to memory out. You remember everything you did? No, those things are many things that are lost. And as we add years into our life, we find that we lose more and more of those things. But if we put it in our spirit, as we have need of it, God will bring it back out of our spirit, because we have a Holy Spirit ministering here within my spirit that as I have need, it'll bring it up. To show you how that works, I was not spirit-filled. I was in a denominational church, and the preacher asked me one time to go visit a family with him. And we went into a low-cost housing area and knocked on the door, and some kids come to the door anywhere from eight. There were about three or four of them, eight to, say, 12, 13 years old. And he asked to see the parents, and they said, Daddy's in the back of the bed. So the preacher just walked right on through and went on back there, and I stayed in the front room with his children. And I'd seen them around town. I knew who they were. I didn't know them personally. And they began to ask me questions. You go to church over there? Yeah, I said, I go to church. And they began to ask me spiritual questions. And do you know the Lord brought scripture out of my spirit that I didn't even know was there? I quoted them word for word scripture that I had put down in my spirit that I didn't have any idea. If you would ask me that at a given time, quote me Romans 8:1. I have no idea what Romans 8:1 says. But you know, when they asked me those questions, the Lord ministered back to me, and I brought out of my spirit scripture that I had no idea that I knew. And when I checked it, it was word for word that I quoted to them. You don't put it here in memory. I know a lady that put the book of, that I told them in today, the whole book of John to memory. She committed the book of John, not the chapter, one chapter of John, not 1 John either. I'm talking about the Gospel of John. What is it? 21 chapters. And she committed that to memory. I'll bet you she couldn't quote you one chapter now. Because it was to memory. Up here. It's all up here. And the devil will steal that we put here. From time to time, he'll take little by little out of it. God says, I'll set you free little by little. If you'll trust me and you'll walk with me and you'll be an overcomer. Look at verse 5. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Mildred talked about it. We talk about wanting our name written in the book of life. Well, he's talking about your name being blotted out of the book of life. The white raiment, of course, is the righteousness, and not ours. We don't have any. But it is God's righteousness. But it talks about our nakedness, covering our nakedness and our shame. For none of us have completed this word and have arrived at the point where we are serving God to the way that He desires and commands that we serve Him. Each of you, right now, right now. We feel like, hey, we're children of God, and we walk in the power of God, and we have all that God has for us. You're a sinner. Right now, you are. No, you say, I'm not a sinner. I was a sinner saved by grace. You're still a sinner. I'll bet you that there's not a person here that hadn't sinned this day. Now, I'm not putting condemnation on you, because the Word says that all that is not of faith is sin. If you walk by faith completely today, maybe some of you have. I don't know. But I dare say that most of you have not. So therefore, you have sinned, haven't you? When you sin, you open a door for the enemy to attack you. We are not what we claim to be. And that's not condemnation on you. I want you to know that there's still room for us to improve yet. We have a place to go yet. We have work to do yet. And this book is the guide that we need to complete this work, to get us in right relationship to meet our God. And I don't mean to put you down. It was not to put you down. I wanted you to see that we do have some work left for this body to do. Every one of us. There's not a person immune from this. So talk to God about it. How can I work into the place that I need to be? I'll tell you how. Get in the book. Get in the book. And obey it. Walk in it. This is the answer. God's answer is right here. It's in there. Well, let me go on. I've got some scripture that would go with that, but I don't want to spend too much time here. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 8. I know thy works, and he's talking to the church at Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. He said that there is a work prepared for you. There is an open door. Man can't stop that. You're not really as strong as you ought to be. You don't have all your strength yet. But there is an open door before you, and you can do this work. And He's put a challenge out before us to go on with the Lord and complete the work that He has set before us. You know, so many of us look at the mountain before us and we say, Father, I can't get over the mountain. I just can't get past this. So I give up. And God's calling is without repentance. He will not repent of the calling that He put on you. He's going to hold you to the call that He placed on your life. Now, you can give up if you want to, but God's going to challenge you when you stand before Him and say, what did you do with the calling that I placed on you? Did you fulfill what I called you to do? My wife has a good testimony there. When the Lord called her, we were of Baptist background. I was raised in the Baptist church. And Baptists frown on women preachers. But He called her, too, to be a preacher. And she says, Lord, let my husband do it, and I'll support him. And I'll stand behind him, and I'll pray for him. But let my husband do it, because they won't accept a woman preacher. And we were not in the Baptist, we were not going to the Baptist church then. But we had been all for quite some time in the Baptist church, and all this was teaching within us. And the Lord spoke to her and said, I will hold him to the call I placed on his life, but I will hold you to the call I placed on your life. I cannot complete her call, and she can't complete my call. We are one in the Spirit. But God put a calling on each one of us. And God has a calling on you. And He's expecting you to fulfill the call that He's placed on your life. You say, I don't know what it is. Well, go to Him and find out. Don't you think we've lived long enough without knowing what God wants out of us? It's time we got into it and found out, God, what do you really want from me? Show me, Lord. I want to be an overcomer. I want to finish this task that you've given me here in the land. So let's go on and be about God's Word. Verse 10 says, because thou hast kept me the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Did you know that obedience releases you from temptation? Did you hear what I just read there? Obedience, our obedience to God. And we won't fall into temptation. We won't fall into these things. Sure, the devil is not going to release his chance to try us, but God is going to protect us. Oh, good. 12. He that overcometh, I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name, promises of God, for those that overcome. And when it talks about the temple of God, that's the dwelling place of God, the permanent dwelling place of God. And He's going to make you, I, and all the overcomers a pillar, a support, a staunch support of His temple. Why? As we overcome, we can be trusted into the things of the Lord. And He's looking for overcomers that He can trust and turn over to them these things that He's prepared for him. Let's go to that last church, the Laodicean church, in verse 14. And the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He is the beginning of the creation of God. That word Laodicean, or the Laodicea, means a people right as self-evident. That is of the self. That I look at myself, I'm right. I am right. It speaks of judgment, of punishment, and of vengeance. Meaning of Laodicea. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that I were hot or cold, so because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. There's where we really need to be an overcomer. Anybody just want to be lukewarm today? Anybody want to be cold today? No. And he uses these terms. These are terms we understand. We want to be on fire for the Lord, I think would be a good term to use here. Speaking as hot, we would be on fire for our God. I've got scriptures to go along with this. In John 3:5, it talks about being born again. Luke 12:56. If you want to write those down and look at them, but we're fixing to finish up here so we can do some deliverance. Verse 17 says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked." Now, you're talking about a people that need to overcome something. This church has a lot to overcome. And the church today is in sad shape. And there are many in the church today that walk under some, or maybe some even under all of these things here. So we have need to overcome in our own life. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with oil, I say, that thou mayest see." He says, buy the gold. That's the divine nature of God. Purchase for ourselves the divine nature of God. How you do that? By obedience to the Word of God and receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ. That opens the door. The white raiment, of course, is righteousness. God's righteousness applied to us because we have been obedient. The eye salve, didn't really understand the eye salve, but it comes from a word that means a glue stick. So we need to, I'll tell you this, we need clear vision. I'll put it this way. Put on eye salve that we'll have clear vision of the things of the Lord, that we'll not be fooled, that we'll not be deceived any longer, that we'll walk with the Lord. Verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me." What he's saying is we'll feed on the same spiritual food, the same food that Jesus is feeding on. We will feed on it also if we become an overcomer. He's knocking on this door, and if we have overcome and opened that door to him, and you have to open the door, it's always you that has to do it. You and God are in a checker game. You realize that? One moves, then the other. You move, and God moves. That's why you play checkers, isn't it? One after the other. But in God's economy, you have to move first. And then God will move. God has called us to be overcomers. I've got another scripture too, but I'm not going into that. We need the time. The overcoming he's talking about is overcoming within us again. Here, within us, the enemy that comes against us. Setting ourselves free by deliverance, by believing the Word, by walking in the Word. And if we walked in it, we wouldn't need nearly the deliverance that we're having to have. If we would apply this Word to ourselves, we would not have the problems that we have. Father, I just thank you that your Word is true. I thank you that you set us free. I thank you that we don't have to listen to the devil, that we can be overcomers. And I pray, Father, that today you will touch our hearts, that will do a work within us that will convince us that we need to be overcomers in all areas of our life, the places that we have ignored, and that would allow you to be the Lord of us. We praise you for your Word, for your work in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Anybody want deliverance? Does anybody really want deliverance today? I got 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. We'll do a little bit of deliverance. First thing I want to do, I bind the spirits in this place in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask you right now if you have any unforgiveness right now. You forgive right now. You can't get deliverance if you don't. Forgive anybody that you hold unforgiveness against. Any sin that is in your life, confess it right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, set us free. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for setting us free. I speak to the spirit of slumber. I bind that spirit of slumber and I cast out slumber. You will not get sleepy and tired in the name of Jesus. That you will not get bored in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you will be set free in the name of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes these spirits that I call out in Jesus' name. And as I call your name, Spirit, you will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ and loose this people. I speak to rejection. In the name of Jesus, all spirits of rejection, come out of them. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Rejection. In the name of Jesus, all that self-pity In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Self-pity. Loose them and let them go. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. I call out self-pity in Jesus' name. Jealousy. Jealousy and depression. Depression and worry. Worry and inferiority. Come out. Loose them. Come out in Jesus' name. All insecurity. Insecurity. Mental torment. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Loose these people. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. All that procrastination, putting it off in Jesus' name. No, come out. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Procrastination, indecision, the indecision in Jesus' name. Let them go. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. Turn them loose, people. I know that's out there. These spirits, I know they're here present. Don't hold on to them. Don't carry them home with you. It's no disgrace to have a demon. It's a disgrace to hold him. Let him go. Open your mouth and throw him out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Indecision, compromise, that spirit of compromise. I cast you out in Jesus' name. Compromise, loss of memory, spiritual wickedness. Let him go. I cast out the false gospel, all the false teaching in Jesus' name. The demons that have brought in false teaching and allowed you to receive it. I cast out self-will in the name of Jesus. I cast that old spirit of ego, self, pride in Jesus' name. Spiritual pride. I command the spiritual pride. You have nothing to be proud of. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, loose them. Loose them and let them go. All this pride, spiritual pride. Come on out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that deceiving spirit, all the deceiving spirits, well, all of them are deceivers, but there's one named deceiver. In the name of Jesus, I cast out the deceiver. In Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, I cast out that spirit of nakedness. See, people in the summer want to undress as much as they can and still get out in public, showing as much body and skin. I cast that nakedness out of this people in the name of the Lord Jesus. Nakedness. Lying spirits. I cast out lying spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All lying spirits. Cursing. Blasphemy. Criticism. Mockery. In the name of Jesus. You will go. All spirits of mockery. Criticism. Blasphemy. Cursing. In the name of Jesus. All railing spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus. Gossip. Fierce of gossip. You're not of the Lord. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, scornful spirits, I cast out destroyer. That's Apollyon. In the name of Jesus, the destroyer in Jesus' name. And all the destruction, I cast out destruction in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear, all types of fear. Fear of man in the name of the Lord Jesus. Fear of man, I cast out fear of man and fear of dogs in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break the power of those fears in the name of Jesus. All types of fear. There are many fears. Probably every one of you here have some type of fear. Do you want to hold on to that today? Fear, come out. All you have to do is say, Lord, set me free. Not out loud. Just give it over to the Lord and open your mouth and say, come out. And feel that down inside. You don't speak it out loud. Come out in Jesus. I'll call him out. Come out in Jesus' name. Fear, all types of fear. Fear of man, fear of woman, fear of darkness, fear of high places, fear of closed places. All any type of fear, big fears, little fears, I don't care. Fear has to go. You all want to know what fear is? Fear is trusting the devil. You want to hold on to him? You're trusting in the devil rather than trusting God. That's what fear is. Because God's already made provision for everything you're afraid of. And you're trusting the devil. Come out, fear, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let him go. Let him go in the name of Jesus. Jesus, let him go. Let him go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Fear. In Jesus' name. All confusion. Confusion. The Lord rebuke you. Spirits of confusion. Loose this people. Confusion. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Come out. Come on out. Move. Move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. Jealousy. Jealousy, come out in Jesus. I speak to that spirit of death. Death, you're a liar. Early death, come out, early death, come out in Jesus' name. You have no place in God's people. Let them go in Jesus' name. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord, rebuke you. Come out. Come out. Early death. Early death. You're a liar. You're a liar. God has given them 120 years if they desire it in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm claiming it. I'm claiming 120 unless I decide I want to go before 9 then. I'm claiming 100. I'm going to pass my 70. I'm on, well on my way. Come out. Come out. Early death. Early death. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Jesus, that confusion, I didn't forget your confusion, you still got to go. Confusion, come on out, all the confusion. God has not given us confusion, but a sound mind. That's right. But the Scripture says He didn't give us fear, power and love and a sound mind, and He didn't put any confusion in there. Confusion has to go. Come on out, spirit of confusion. You're a liar, you're a liar. You've lied to these people. You've lied, all that confusion. I loose that sound mind, the sound mind to people today, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that alter ego, alter ego, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, let them go, let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus, that alter ego. Come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the rejection. Rejection. You are not rejected. That's a spirit that's lied to you. The Lord Jesus Christ has never rejected you. Come out. Come out. You are the beloved of Christ. That spirit is a liar. All the rejection has to go. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Spirits of rejection. Rejection. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits of brooding. Brooding. Resentful spirits. Bitterness. I come against bitterness. All bitterness. The root of bitterness. I come against that root. In Jesus' name. I cast out that root of bitterness. Come out. Let them go. Let them go. Move. Move in Jesus' name. Root of bitterness. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out. Come on out. Root of bitterness. Bitterness. I cast out spirits of addiction. Addiction. Now, you might not be addicted to cocaine or marijuana, but there are addictions in our life. We get addicted to prescription drugs. We get addicted to food, to drink, of our natural drink that we have. Sometimes it's Coca-Cola. Sometimes it's a soft drink like that. So I speak against addiction. Addiction to cigarettes. Addiction to cigarettes. You have no witness when you become a smokestack. So come out. Come out. All the nicotine. Spirits of nicotine. In the name of the Lord Jesus. There's some here that smoke. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command you to that nicotine spirit to go. In the name of Jesus. You have no place in God's people. Come out. Nicotine. Spirits of nicotine. Come out. Come out. Smoking. Smoking. In the name of Jesus. Command you to loose this people. In the name of Jesus. All types of drugs, the addiction to drugs in Jesus' name. I cast out addiction to prescription drugs in Jesus' name. Addiction to food that makes us obese. In the name of Jesus, I cast out that addiction to food in Jesus' name. We turn to the refrigerator when we should turn to the Bible. We get a knowing down inside of us, and it is the Lord speaking to us, and we go get us something to eat. And we should turn to the Lord. So I bind that addiction to food and cast it out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out of them. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I cast out addiction to sports. Addiction to sports. Football sports. Basketball sports. Tennis. Golf. And all other types of sports. Hockey. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out. Addiction to sports. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Addiction to buying. There are people that can't resist a sale. Come on out. Addiction to buying. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Addiction. Addiction. It's unreal. It is just a compulsion. You can't stop. You can't help yourself. I cast out that addiction in the name of the Lord Jesus. How about addiction to caffeine? Addiction to caffeine. In Jesus' name, I cast out caffeine, the addiction to caffeine, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Addiction to candy, sweets, all types of sweets, in the name of Jesus. I cast out the addiction to sweets, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. All addictions, I command those addictions, loose them and come out. Loose them and let them go, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. cast out sickness, infirmity. It's all types of sickness and infirmity in the name of Jesus without going into names right now. Spirit of sickness, just a spirit of sickness, a spirit of infirmity in the body. In the name of Jesus, you have no place here, and I command you to go. In the name of the Lord Jesus, all of the infirmity and the sickness. I cast out profanity. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I cast deceit. Deceit, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Cast a double-minded spirit out of you in Jesus' name. A double-minded spirit in Jesus' name. We're single. We need to be single-minded and our minds set on Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Backbiters. Backbiting spirits. In the name of Jesus. Haters of God. Spirits of haters of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Confusion. Boasting. Evil works. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come out. Come out. Covenant breakers. Covenant breakers. Blasphemy. No affection. No affection. Evil thoughts. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of murder. Murder in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Unmerciful spirits. Adultery. I cast out a spirit of adultery in the name of the Lord Jesus. Fornication and adultery in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. I cast out spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery. Trusting in other gods, other things that we place ahead of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, come on out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I cast out malice. Malice in the name of Jesus. Child sacrifice. Abortion. Abortion in the name of the Lord Jesus. That spirit of abortion in Jesus' name. You're cursed if you had an abortion. You're cursed if you helped someone have an abortion. You're cursed if you committed abortion on someone else. In the name of Jesus. You need to get rid of it. You need to get rid of it. If you've ever been involved in an abortion, you're cursed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. That's child sacrifice. You've got to go. You've got to go. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come on out. Come on out. Child sacrifice. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Envy. Maliciousness. In Jesus' name. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Unforgiveness. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. Spirits of unrighteousness. In Jesus' name. Seared conscience. A seared consciousness. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. A reprobate mind. Doctrine of devils. A burning lust. Seducing spirits. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Move. Move. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Vile affections. Strong delusions. Torment. I cast out torment. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Tormenting spirits. Let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. Uncleanliness. Spirits of uncleanliness. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Evil imagination. Evil imagination. Come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come against that Jezebel spirit. Jezebel, come out. Come on out. Jezebel, in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, spirit of Jezebel, let him go. Let him go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pardon. In Jesus' name. Jezebel, come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Our Ahab spirit. Ahab, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let him go. Come out. Come out. Ahab, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come on out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I come against accidents. Spirits of accidents. In Jesus' name. Multiple accidents in life. In Jesus' name. The spirit that causes accidents. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. That evil imagination. Come out. Come out. Self-exaltation. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Unbelief. Spirits of unbelief. Come on, stir them up. Take a deep breath down. Blow them out. Let's go. Let's finish this up. Let's get rid of them. Come on, out. Take two big, deep breaths and blow them out. Come, stir up self-exaltation. An unbelief in Jesus' name. Rebellion. Spirits of rebellion. In Jesus' name. Come out, rebellion. You're a liar. You're hidden there and you can't stay. I take authority over the spirits of rebellion. I command you. Come on out. Come on out. Move. Move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.